Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is 1 o'clock. It is time for the big one, the final hour of Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Each and every Thursday at a Thursday Night Football at 1 o'clock, our buddy Andy Behrens of Yahoo Sports, my favorite fantasy mind in the country, joins us and gets us up to speed on everything going on in the fantasy landscape. Andy, I want to start in that Green Bay backfield. If Ty Montgomery is out, they got Jamal Williams, who got banged up last week, and a guy that I've picked up in a few leagues in what is now basically a three-headed monster of sorts. Sort that all out for us. Who's playable, who isn't for the Packers?
Yeah, I'll say from the start that I don't think Williams is playable at all. I think he's been legitimately leapfrogged by Jones, who looked great, right? Looked really, really good. And in fact, I think Green Bay needs a, I don't want to say full platoon partner for Ty Montgomery, but Montgomery was being used at a rate that is awfully difficult to sustain, playing nearly every snap for that team. Montgomery's going to need somebody to take, I don't know, 20, 25% of the snaps. And I think Jones is that guy. He looked really explosive, looked extremely decisive. And, you know, it's an offense that should be so friendly to the running back because they stress you at all possible points, right? Everybody's worried about Aaron Rodgers. We're all worried about Jordy Nelson. They have great tight end now. So the running game should be there all the time and should face a lot of, you know, sometimes five, often six, seven-man fronts. It's a very, very friendly map situation, right, for the running game. So I like Jones a lot, and I wouldn't despair, you know, now that we see all these reports of Montgomery possibly playing this week, I don't think I would despair if I added Jones. I think he's the real deal.
Speaking of staying in Green Bay here, Andy, the Adams hit last week, obviously so brutal, and legislation has come down, so on and so forth, but fantasy clock kind of keeps on ticking here. Allison is a guy that a lot of people picked up, the wide receiver in Green Bay, the previous week, based on his, you know, pretty big outburst of a day, I think over 120 yards, held catchless. More opportunity now because no Adams, presumably, or is that a situation to avoid? I'm thinking maybe, I don't know, cheap daily fantasy.
Oh, no, I think he's a really good guy to invest in. And of course, when he had the breakout game, that was because Randall Cobb wasn't playing. And now it seems extremely unlikely that Devontae Adams is gonna play after the cheapest of cheap shots from Danny Trevathan. I'm still going to need somebody to explain to me how he got his suspension reduced. I think Allison is going to be a really strong play. I don't necessarily expect Adams to go. I know he's returned to a limited practice, but he still needs to navigate the concussion protocol. I would be really surprised if Green Bay put him out there this week. So I think Allison's somebody who's in line for 8-9 targets, and these are not just any targets, right? These are Aaron Rodgers targets. Good chance at 6-7 catches.
Patriots in action tonight. Their backfield situation is still kind of muddy, probably will be all year. Are we at a point, though, where if Mike Gillisley doesn't score a touchdown, he's not going to help you a lot?
Oh, yeah, we're absolutely at that point. The nice thing is it's an offense that's probably going to average 30, 31 points per game. So Mike Gillisley is going to score touchdowns with regularity. You know, I know he hasn't found the end zone the last couple of weeks, but it's still, what, it's four on the season. I want to say that he hasn't seen fewer than 12 carries in any game. One of the problems with his game is obviously he's not being used as a receiver. So it's almost exactly the LeGarrette Blount role from last year. Of course, that ended with LeGarrette Blount getting nearly 20 touchdowns. So that number might not be on the table for Gillisley, but it's going to be a big total by the end of the year. He's clearly going to finish the season as long as he stays healthy, which has been a major worry for Gillisley over the years. But if he stays healthy this year, you're looking at a dozen touchdowns. So this is a guy that we have to keep trotting out there, especially in games like this, where we think there's going to be a pretty big number on both sides.
Yeah, I got some daily fantasy stacks and involved with some Thursday Night Football tonight. At Andy Behrens on Twitter. Great follow if you care about fantasy foosball. Andy, it's bye week season. They're going to start to come in bunches now. We were rattled, you know, sort of lulled into the luxury of being able to trot out our best lineup each week. Give me a couple bye week get-bys over the next couple weeks that may be rosterable out there on the waiver wire.
Oh, that's a really good question, because this is actually, like, the byes start with just a terrible week at the quarterback position, right? We've got Matt Ryan on a bye. We've got Drew Brees on a bye. Kirk Cousins. It's a rough week. Jacoby Brissett is a guy that I think is relatively cheap in every daily fantasy game and has a really nice matchup this week against San Francisco. You know, the Niners gave up 3 touchdowns and nearly 300 yards to Jared Goff. They gave up over 350 passing yards to Carson Palmer. It's obviously an exploitable defense. And Brissett is going to have that job now for a couple more weeks. Another cheap option out there playing tonight, Adam Humphries with Tampa Bay. So he's primarily a slot receiver for Tampa Bay. He's seen 17 targets over the last 2 games. I would be really surprised against just an absolutely dreadful New England defense, a defense that is allowing over 320 passing yards per week. I'd be surprised if Humphries didn't catch, say, 6 balls for 70 yards. I'd give every Tampa Bay receiver a shot at the end zone this week, too.
Andy Behrens of Yahoo Sports is with us on Grant and Danny. And I'm curious, you know, kind of the themes that you're seeing develop around the league at this point, things that you're monitoring as trends, and maybe something that could help us as we're playing in our leagues as we kind of get ready for this midseason run.
Yeah, I will say I can't even explain Alfred Morris's percent ownership right now because we actually don't have resolution to the Zeke Elliott case, right? Like not for the rest of this season, certainly not over the long course of what, you know, we don't know yet, like, if his suspension is going to kick in this year or if it's actually going to be held off until next season. We're still waiting as we speak right now on yet another court ruling. And if, you know, if his suspension kicks in this year, Alfred Morris is going to be basically a full workload running back, running behind a really good offensive line and a team that relies very heavily on that running game. He looked pretty good so far. He just broke off a 70-yard run the other day. So we don't, you know, I feel like it's all gone quiet on the Zeke Elliott front, but there is major news that is probably going to drop. Could be today, could be tomorrow, right? Could be like next week. It's going to be relatively soon. And then we're going to, you know, whatever. Like Morris is a guy that you can just grab right now. And, you know, if the Zeke Elliott news is such that we think he's going to play the entire season, you just drop him and there's no great cost. But he's owned in less than 10% of Yahoo leagues. And he has a shot at, you know, a month and a half of a pretty dominant fantasy position.
Andy, I don't know what the Seattle running back situation is going to be. I don't know if they're worth owning any of those guys once Chris Carson went down. But I did this in a couple leagues, just sort of perspective, mining for, you know, gold in a you know, the river that Andy Dufresne had to crawl through to get free in Shawshank. But I held my nose and picked up Eddie Lacy, and it made me sick to my stomach to do it. I hate owning him, but here I am with Eddie Lacy on my roster. Is that the right call, or is there somebody that is rosterable there?
Well, yeah, we're running out of Seattle back. So what was once a cluttered backfield situation is now at least has a little bit of clarity to it. Although, you know, McKissick looked really good last week. I don't believe that C.J. Precise practiced yesterday, so that's a situation to watch. If McKissick gets that sort of passing down role in that backfield, he's pretty interesting, at least in PPR formats. And it sure seems like the early down role is going to be between Thomas Rawls and Eddie Lacy. Lacy disappointed on almost every carry in the preseason. And, you know, who knows? Some players approach preseason differently. Some of them are just trying to survive it, right, without getting hurt. That might be a reasonable way to approach it. But Lacy looked really poor in the preseason. And he didn't show us a whole lot last week either in Chris Carson's absence. So I think there's a real possibility that Thomas Rawls may get the start for Seattle. Just reading the tea leaves, trying to read something into what Pete Carroll's been saying this week, it sure seems, you know, like Rawls is the first name that always comes out of his mouth when he's asked about the backfield. So he does profess some confidence in Thomas Rawls. So I think Rawls is going to be the guy, but it's clearly going to be a hot hand situation between two backs who are not guaranteed to have the hot hand.
Do you, when you're looking at a flex with a wide receiver, running back, tight end, if you have a tight end like a Kyle Rudolph who's going to get 6-7 targets and a chance at a touchdown, but a lower ceiling catches and yards, do you go with him over a wide receiver who's high risk, high reward, might go 8-for-80, but might go 2-for-15? How do you do that?
Yeah, this depends on the depth of the league usually for me, right? There are certain formats, like the deeper the league, the more active roster spots that are involved. I tend to, you know, I veer toward the guys who have the much higher floor, the guys who might be boring, you know, which can range all the way from, I don't know, people who just sort of deliver the same fantasy line every week tend to tend to bore us. That's a lot of slot receivers. You know, it's like Larry Fitzgerald at the high end. It's almost, you know, name a slot receiver across the league. It's Pierre Garçon, guys like that. The deeper the league, I just want the points. And I want to get somebody who's going to deliver me a reliable, you know, 7 to 10 points each week. There are other formats, of course, where you just want the high variance player. And let's say you're going into a matchup and you consider yourself an underdog, right? Like, we all get in that situation where because of bye weeks, because of injuries, you start looking at your opponent's roster versus your own, and you're like, wow, I need a Hail Mary. In situations like that, I'm much more likely to play, you know, the DeSean Jackson, Martavis Bryant types who always have a shot in any given week for two touchdown performance.
Andy, always love the information because you're great at delivering it. Appreciate the time, buddy. Talk soon.
Hey, thanks, everybody. Good luck.
Thanks, pal.
You bet. Go to Yahoo Sports. Check out Andy Behrens' work. We're Grant and Danny. Let's get back into the Nats. We are one day away from the playoffs. No one's going to talk more Nats than we will. We're going to Chicago to Wrigley Field to bring you Game 3 and Game 4.
Yeah, we are.
On the road in the Windy City. Who's the most important player on the Nationals in this division series? We'll get into that next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.